Welcome to the Middle East Report, your connection to truthful reporting on Israel and the Middle East. I'm John Riley. Each week, we connect you to the people, places, and geography of what you read about in God's Word. And of course, we do our best to keep you informed with current events happening in the Middle East and, of course, there in Israel. And today, we are going to go to the capital of Israel, Jerusalem, and talk to Jonathan Hessen. Jonathan Hessen is a non-resident senior fellow in the Center for Peace and Security in the Middle East at Hudson Institute. Mr. Hessen is also the editor-in-chief and lead host of Jerusalem-based TV7 Israel. This is an amazing organization. Jonathan, you do so much to keep everybody informed of what's happening in that region of the world. Welcome to the Middle East Report. Tell everybody about what you guys do, about TV7 Israel News, the Center for Peace and Security in the Middle East at the Hudson Institute. You guys are doing a lot.
Thank you, John. First of all, it's a pleasure to be on the American Family Radio, and I'm looking forward to doing this with you many more times in the future, God willing. Shortly, I am an Israeli, born and raised here in Jerusalem, have worked in the fields of geostrategy and military intelligence diplomacy for roughly 20 years now. But nonetheless, with God's grace, it remains interesting. And with his guidance and leading, we're able to also provide people via TV7 Israel content on a daily basis, be it daily news updates as well as geostrategic panels and discussions on everything that is happening, not only in Israel, but throughout the Middle East, with key focus on anything that has direct or indirect implications for the peace of Jerusalem, as is in Psalm 122, calling us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Here, too, we encourage people to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for the salvation of Israel. And we're very thankful that with God's grace, He is guiding and leading also the leadership here in Jerusalem to prevail in the face of many challenges, and not only challenges, but many belligerent activities by the enemy, not only an enemy to the state of Israel, but also to the United States and Western civilization at large, and Christians also in particular. And therefore, this is very important for me personally, also as a Christian, born-again believer, who believes in the Word of God, and that everything that we do, we should always do in fervent effort to further the kingdom of heaven. And therefore, this is also a privilege from my part and the team here in Jerusalem to be able to serve in this capacity. And also, advise within the context of the Hudson Institute. We write policy papers. We conduct various matters on the strategic level. The Hudson Institute is in Washington, D.C. I just visited there roughly a week and a half ago, and we had the opportunity to speak in, with people from the White House to Capitol Hill to other very influential institutions, and being a force for good, which we continue to do. And therefore, I'd like also to take this opportunity to encourage people to pray for the leadership in Washington, that we may continue to serve the Lord in our various capacities, be it in our jobs, in our ministry, and anywhere else in the walks of life that each and every one of us is participating in. So this is, in a nutshell, what we're doing. I also have the privilege of advising some of the leaders here in the Middle East, particularly also the Druze leadership, which is a small community here in Israel that amounts to roughly 2 million people altogether, a very small minority, who are the descendants of Jethro, the father-in-law of Moses from the Bible, something that we're mostly familiar with. And they have, over the years, developed all kind of other aspects within a transnational minority seeking to survive a very tough region, of course, but nonetheless also helping the believers in Muslim majority states under persecution and others that are in need of our assistance.
We do want to turn to events happening there in the land of Israel right now. So much is going on. We now have a ceasefire deal that is happening there between Israel and Hamas, this war that has been going on since October 7th, when thousands of demonic terrorists from the very pit of hell came across into Israel and took the elderly, took babies, took Holocaust survivors, killed so many, over 1,200, and brought them back, many captives, into Gaza, including dead people. And it's just terrible what has happened since that time. And of course, now we've got this ongoing war and the ceasefire. Jonathan, there's a lot of people who don't know any details about the ceasefire, what it means for Israel. Can you kind of break it down for somebody who's not been following this?
The Islamist Hamas, which is an offshoot of a global umbrella organization called the Muslim Brotherhood, has launched a onslaught in the early mornings of a Saturday in which Israelis celebrated, actually, the joy of the Bible. It's called, in a literal translation from Hebrew, Simchat Torah. And on that morning of October 7th of 2023, they launched significant barrages of rockets. I still remember it was exactly at 5:32 a.m. And hundreds of rockets raining down on Israeli communities, both in southern Israel as well as in central Israel. And immediately while the first salvo of rockets was launched, as you mentioned, thousands of terror operatives of this Islamist Hamas and terror affiliates from the Gaza Strip crossed into Israel, launched a brutal massacre against thousands of Israelis, not really seeing the difference between elderly, women, children, babies, who were, I don't even want to go into the atrocities they committed for the really heinous evil that emanated from their intentions to do so. But as you noted, 1,200, mostly civilians, were brutally murdered. Another 4,800 people were sustained various degrees of injuries during that time. And 251 individuals were kidnapped. Both the majority of them at the time were still amongst the living, but also bodies of people that they already had murdered were taken into the Gaza Strip. And this naturally sparked a very significant war between Israel and the Islamist Hamas, which was backed by the Islamic Republic of Iran, and a regional war emanated out of there. But before we go to the regional war, I will focus on the fact that now we have reached yet another ceasefire after many of the military objectives were reached in the Gaza Strip. A couple of weeks before President Donald Trump took office, he announced in a post on social media that unless all the hostages are released, all hell would break loose throughout the Middle East. And therefore, the Islamist Hamas and its patrons in the region, to include also Qatar, as well as Turkey to a lesser extent, have placed significant leverage on Hamas because they knew that the consequences could be very significant. And therefore, with the help of President Trump and his Middle East envoy, Steve Witkoff, they managed to secure a deal. The deal is actually terrible for Israel, but nonetheless, Israel has a very clearly defined position that it will never leave any hostages behind and will act until they are all returned. And this is also one of the basic goals for the current war vis-a-vis the Hamas in the Gaza Strip. So the first stage of three stages altogether includes the release of only 33 hostages, all of them civilian, actually, to include women, to include children, an infant of 2 years old who was captured when he was 9 months old, together with his five-year-old brother and their mother and uncle. And it's really, it's heart-clenching, if I may call it that way, because in exchange for those hostages that we really want to see returning safely back home, despite the fact that the majority of the hostages today, 94 of them left in the Gaza Strip to date, these hostages, we do not know how many of them are among the living. So this terror organization is holding that information away and is not willing to even unveil that fact or this information that would, of course, alleviate much of the strain on the hearts and anticipation of the people of Israel at large and the families of the hostages in particular. But as I mentioned, the first stage of the three stages is going to take place for 42 days altogether, during the course of which 33 hostages will be released. We do not know how many amongst the living. And in exchange for them, over 2,000 terror operatives will be released from Israeli jails, including 250 who have committed mass murder events, including against Israelis, but also against tourists who were here. Some of them have American blood on their hands. Some of them have European blood on their hands. So we need to keep in mind that this is a terrorist organization that seeks to eradicate the state of Israel. It's actually written in its bylaws of this organization that was published and is online. You can find it, the constitution, so to speak, of this Hamas organization calls for the eradication of all non-Muslim actors, particularly the state of Israel, Jews, Christians, and all non-other Muslim communities, to basically either kill them or kick them out of the country. So this is a very tough situation. We will have to see how long this takes place and whether or not the ceasefire will prevail, because we are already seeing a couple of violations by Hamas during the course of the very first days, the very first weeks, and therefore we do not know whether or not this deal will be sustainable. When asked during the signing of all those executive orders which President Trump signed on the first day in office, he was asked whether or not he believes the hostage release deal would enter into phase two and three of the outline, and he said that he was quite skeptical about it. So unfortunately, I'm also quite skeptical, and I do not think that this Hamas organization would live up to the terms and conditions that it agreed to in the get-go.
You mentioned that this was a bad deal for Israel, and I think everybody can see that. Why do you think Mr. Trump and his representatives pushed for this deal so much if it's such a bad deal for the state of Israel and for the Jewish people?
So there are two elements to this deal. One, President Trump wanted to live up to his promise, and that is to return all of the hostages. And he didn't want to follow up on that threat, because all hell to break out in the Middle East on the first day of office, when your campaign trail pledge is to end all wars, does not really converge with one another. So he had to get out of it with grace from that threat, so to speak, to Hamas and its patrons in the Middle East, and to prepare for something significant that would establish a paradigm shift. Israel has received assurances from President Trump, from National Security Mike Waltz, and others in the Trump administration, the incoming, that in the event that Hamas fails to live up to the outline of the deal, the war would restart, and that it would restart in a new pedigree of intensity. So we will have to wait and see what that means. Next to that, we need also to take into account the fact that both U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio, as well as the National Security Advisor Waltz, including the Secretary of Defense Hegseth, they have all come out and stated during their confirmation hearings that they will not allow and will not agree to seeing Hamas sustain power and remain the governing body in the Gaza Strip something that has brought about this terrible devastation in Gaza in the first place, in light of the atrocities committed by this terrorist organization on October 7th of 2023.
There are a lot of news reports out there, Jonathan, regarding the ceasefire deal, and I think a lot of it's coming from, you know, Arab countries and, of course, the Palestinian Authority there, that, hey, this ceasefire deal is going to just end the war. I mean, the war is going to be over after the 42 days and or after the different phases of the ceasefire, and that's it. How does Israel see this? I mean, because everybody's like, okay, the war is over, everything's going to be good, and we're going to get back to normal.
Jews here in the land always laugh about the fact that if you put one Jew in a room, you have seven opinions. If you put two Jews in a room, you have 77 opinions. And therefore, when you have not one cohesive, clear school of thought prevailing, I must say that you have a unsustainable reality in which the outline of this agreement will likely fail. And therefore, and I say this with a lot of reverence, because this would mean that some of those hostages that are very keen on returning back to their families in Israel will have to remain in Hamas captivity until a new deal is reached, or alternately, the IDF or other of the security establishment and apparatus here in Israel will be able to free them in a hostage release deal. There are a couple of points that are very important to point out in this context, and that is, Israel knew where many of the hostages were, but the circumstances did not ripen for it to conduct a counter-terrorist hostage release operation that would be regarded as high success within the risk assessment ladder. So we'll have to wait and see whether or not all of the calculations converge with the various thoughts of decision makers here in Jerusalem, as well as in Washington, D.C., as well as in Florida, where the United States Military Central Command is headquartered and is overseeing much of the operations that are taking place, not only in Israel versus Hamas in the Gaza Strip, but also Israel versus Lebanon versus Iran proper, versus the Houthis in Yemen, which have abruptly thwarted freedom of navigation in the strategic strait of Bab el-Mandeb, the Red Sea, as well as adjacent waterways in the Horn of Africa. I suggest people, once they can go to their maps and start looking for those places, but much of global commerce went through that passageway or maritime line, and it's still a problem that is very much kicking. And therefore, President Trump will have to decide how to contend with the various issues throughout the Middle East, the warring factions, which have also direct implications not only to Israel, not only to the region, but to the entire world. Let alone, we shouldn't forget that this war that Israel is waging is a seven-front war. It has multiple dimensions beyond that, but it's a seven-front war. One of those fronts is the Islamic Republic of Iran, which is still active. Another front is Iraq versus Iranian proxies called the Popular Mobilization Forces, or in Arabic, they're called Hashd al-Shaabi, the Houthi tribe in Yemen, which is a designated terrorist organization by the State Department, is also very much active in this context. And then we have also all kind of terror organizations in Judea and Samaria, particularly in the northern Samaria areas within the so-called West Bank, which is referred to as such by the international community. There are pockets of terror cells of Iranian elements that have been armed and funded by Iran in order to confront Israel. So it's a very complex environment, irrespective of the Gaza Strip, and therefore the war might have received a certain respite in the Gaza theater and the Lebanese theater, where Hezbollah has been operating against Israel, but these could flare up at any moment if a significant violation is conducted.
Well, if it seems complicated there in the Middle East, that's because it is. And that is why you need to visit TV7IsraelNews.com, TV7IsraelNews.com, connect with Jonathan Hessen and his team there, because they take all the complexities that we're talking about today and they just boil them down to something that you can understand there in the Middle East. And they have got videos, they have got articles, they've got a YouTube channel. They broadcast to millions of people through all the different channels that they have. So I want to encourage everybody who's listening to the Middle East Report today to connect with Jonathan Hessen. And you can do that when you go to TV7IsraelNews.com, TV7IsraelNews.com. Jonathan Hessen is a non-resident senior fellow in the Center for Peace and Security in the Middle East, and he's the editor-in-chief and lead host of the Jerusalem-based TV7 there in Israel. Jonathan, we have so many things to talk about, but we don't have, you know, a lot of time left. This is turning the corner just a little bit. You are a believer in Jesus, and so many things are happening in the Middle East. You've got the seven-front war that you mentioned. For those who are listening right now and are thinking about end times, you know, they're thinking about prophecy and how Israel fits into all of this and the events of the day. What's your perspective on that, on all these things that have been happening, you know, there in the land of Israel when it comes to, you know, prophecy and what God says about Israel and the Jewish people?
The Bible tells us to recognize the times that we're living in and to pray for the situation, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and to be prepared as the 10 virgins, you know, with the oil in our lamps and for his return. So when I'm looking at the times surrounding, and this is also one of the mandates that I believe the Lord has put on our hearts here in TV7 Israel, to provide the body of Christ around the world with the tools to recognize the times that we're living in without the narratives that have been plaguing much of the global channels and the various organizations that are not or have limited access, rather, to the sources, be they in government or the military or intelligence agencies and such, and provide people with clarity on those complexities that we're dealing with on a regular basis. We try to make it available for everyone. So it is some of it in layman's terms, some of it in more complicated equations if we're talking about nuclear science or other aspects related to Iran's nuclear ambitions. But nevertheless, I will point out that the intricacies, as you mentioned, John, are very complicated when we're talking about the Middle East. And therefore, when somebody starts watching and remains consistent in watching for a couple of weeks, you can get updated very, very quickly and start following the day-to-day events that are occurring throughout the Middle East, again, with direct or indirect implications to Israel. So with regard to the alignment of prophecies, I think, you know, the current state of affairs throughout the Middle East is not as aligned as it was a couple of weeks ago, particularly when we're talking about the convergence of interests between Russia, Iran, Turkey, the various forces surrounding that, the European engagement in this whole story. So if just a couple of months ago there was the Astana talks in the global stage, which included deliberations between Russia, Iran, and Turkey about the future of Syria and Damascus. Now they have broken off since Turkey basically had utilized the vacuum that emerged due to the war between Israel and Iran that diminished its power to the point where Turkish proxies were able to capture Damascus. This whole alignment, so to speak, that we were very closely following has detached somewhat. So we need to keep that in mind. Of course, we need to remain focused that every report, everything that is coming out of the news, out of what we say here also at TV7 Israel, needs to be matched to the Word of God. And that is what dictates reality rather than the other way around. So we continue to pray. The Middle East is a storm when we're talking about the belligerents, the conflicts raging around the region, the ongoing war between Jerusalem and Tehran, the different tensions between Ankara and Damascus and Jerusalem. So we need to take all of that also into context. And it very much reminds me of the chapter 4 in the book of Mark, verses, I think we can go to verses 37 to 41 somewhat, where Jesus basically was sleeping in the boat and the storm started in the Sea of Galilee. And, you know, it's a very clear analogy to the reality here that everything is storming around, but the moment we realize that Jesus is the one that can save, we just need to turn to him to basically say, Lord, wake up. The storm is raging around us, and he will wake up and rebuke the storm, and it will quiet down and be still. So we need to pray. We need to pray for peace in the Middle East, peace in Israel, peace in Jerusalem, and for the wisdom of heaven to shine in the White House, in the government here in Jerusalem. And with his grace, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, everything can alter in accordance with his will.
That's Jonathan Hessen with TV7 Israel News. I want to encourage you, please go to that website and find out more. You can connect with what's happening directly from the land of Israel. They've got a lot of great information for you there. TV7IsraelNews.com. TV7IsraelNews.com is where you can go, and you can get a lot of information to keep you informed, where content truly matters. Truthful content, that's what you're going to find right there, TV7IsraelNews.com. I encourage you to check it out. As we wrap up this edition of the Middle East Report, I want to tell you about a resource that you can go to if you want to dig into God's Word deeper, and that should be all of us. Check out loveisrael.org, loveisrael.org, where you're going to find the teachings of Dr. Baruch Korman. And he actually goes verse by verse through the books of the Bible, and it's absolutely free, all of the teachings that you'll get there on that website. So please check that out, loveisrael.org, loveisrael.org. And by the way, Dr. Baruch Korman will be speaking all over the United States in two-day conferences. The first conference is going to be held March 14th through the 15th in Arlington, Texas. That's March 14th through the 15th in Arlington, Texas. The second one, 2nd through the 3rd in Montgomery, Alabama. And then there will be another one, May 9th through the 11th in Evansville, Indiana. On June 13th through the 14th, he'll be in Cleveland, Ohio, and you are invited to any of these conferences. LoveIsrael.org is where you can find out more. That's the Middle East Report. I'm John Riley. Get a podcast of the show at AFR.net or wherever you get your podcasts. We're on all the major podcast platforms. Thanks for listening.